Hi, it's Dacker. If you're like me, you probably have a wide variety of interests when it comes to your podcast listening. A little psychology here, a little history there, which is why I want to recommend a show perfect for those with eclectic tastes. Freakonomics Radio has more than 10 years and 500 episodes worth of answers to your biggest questions. But don't be fooled, it's not just for economists and business experts. Every week, Stephen Dubner dives into the hidden side of everything. With the help of guests, including CEOs, artists, and Nobel laureates, he breaks down all sorts of things, like how we choose the people we marry and why using swear words might be more important than you think. So don't miss out. Follow Freakonomics Radio right now, wherever you get your podcasts. Support for The Science of Happiness comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/happiness. That's odoo.com/happiness. Odoo, modern management made simple. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I had a nurse, a young nurse, come to me in debriefings that we hold with our staff. And the comment was to me, when I signed on to become a nurse, I never signed up for this. No, none of us did. None of us did. This is a worldwide pandemic. Everyone is exposed to this same amount of distress, this compassion fatigue, this physical fatigue, the mental fatigue. And caregivers in hospitals were particularly hard hit because they're living a vigilant life all the time. It's trying to avoid disease and give the best care I can give. But then when I leave, I have to take care of my family and help them avoid disease. So it's like a two-edged sword for nurses, physicians, all of them. It was fighting COVID on two fronts, at work and at home, and worn out. I think the two words I've heard constantly, I am worn out. So the question that follows that then is, what can I do about that? What are we going to do about this? You know, is there something we can do? And yes, there is things we can do to address this, to remedy this, and to put people back on a better path than the one that they're walking now.
Many of us have felt burnt out over the course of this pandemic, and that's more than just feeling exhausted. It also makes us feel disconnected and ineffective and even cynical. And for frontline workers, it's all the more common. I'm Emiliana Simon-Thomas, the science director at UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center, and I'm filling in today for Dacher Keltner. Welcome to The Science of Happiness. Our guest today is a nurse in Dayton, Ohio. Patricia O'Malley chairs the nursing research program for Miami Valley Hospital and Premier Health. She joins us after she and her team tried out a new resource that we produced to boost well-being. Later in the show, we'll look at research suggesting how gratitude can help people with high-stress jobs. Patricia, thanks so much for joining us on The Science of Happiness.
Thank you for having me.
So I just want to say that I am in awe of people in the healthcare profession right now, especially because of all the heavy-duty work that has been required over the past few years. Even before COVID, though, burnout was really high amongst healthcare providers. Can you give us a sense of what your work life is like, and especially in terms of the stress and what it's like right now?
The way that the nurse-patient relationship is structured, across our discipline kind of sets us up for this moral distress or burnout, this fatigue, because the relationship that nurses have with their patients is usually a very intimate relationship. It's a relationship full of trust, and it's built on the nursing value, our goal, our core ethic, if you want to say it, of relieving suffering, reducing suffering, and to do good with our patients, to help in their healing and to care for them in their illness. This was a difficult thing to do before because of the stress on the healthcare system. So our healthcare system was stretched even before COVID came on board. But COVID has stretched nursing and all of the healthcare disciplines incredibly.
Yeah, I hear you. That's one of the reasons we partnered with the American Nurses Foundation to create an online resource that we called the Gratitude Practice for Nurses Toolkit. And it was designed to offer practices and activities that nurses could use to create a culture of gratitude in their organizations. So when you came across the toolkit, what piqued your interest?
So I think every healthcare organization in the country is looking for science and pathways and ways to help staff overcome burnout, to build resilience, to keep people in practice, and to find meaning in their practice and joy despite the stress of this pandemic. I took a look at your toolkit, the different things from your website, and the attraction was incredible because it's from a platform of positivity and going forward rather than a pathway of survival. It's a choice of activities and actions that have an evidence base to improve an individual's mental, spiritual, physical health that comes not from a survival framework, but from a living, going forward framework. Things can be better. I'm not here just to survive COVID. I can grow through this as well and find some healing in this process. Dealing with difficult emotions, how to cultivate positive emotions, and then how to change the workplace networks on their social connections so that there's support rather than everyone working alone with these really difficult emotions. I have tools that I can move forward despite this pandemic, and I can find sources of happiness even in as difficult a time that this is.
Patricia, what do you tell your team if you're in a meeting and you're ready to share all of the motivation and inspiration that you've embodied around the potential for gratitude to strengthen a person's resilience? What do you say to your team to sell this notion that gratitude is going to work for them too?
We're encouraging staffs to pick out what might work on your unit. So some of our nursing units are doing gratitude huddles. Some nursing units are doing gratitude boards. Some of our managers are integrating this into staff meetings. What are we grateful for today? So something to just get this kind of slowly integrated into our culture.
So I would love for you to tell me a story about the gratitude huddle, Patricia. So what is that like? And what kind of feedback do you get about it?
The gratitude huddle is informal. It's called, especially, let's say that a unit is in particularly very busy mode for a particular day. They may not be able to do this. But on other days that there looks like there's a gap, we're getting close to a break time, maybe for lunch or dinner. But it's just a way to acknowledge and to kind of give that couple of minute break from the workload and go back to what we are doing and are providing care.
So I'm imagining a group of nurses together in a unit, and it's, as you described, a moment where there is a little bit of spaciousness and they decide to do a gratitude huddle. And I wonder if you could tell me what you think changes from the moment before they get together and share these sentiments about what it is they can bring to mind that makes them feel grateful to the maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes after the huddle has ended. What's different about that group of people at that point?
Well, I think you've fostered relationship in the people that you were in huddle with. So I know a little more about the other person in the huddle with me, and I know what they're grateful for. So I probably strengthened the relationship between the coworkers. And then the other thing is I've probably offset stress for that nurse. Let's say I'm rushed to get to work. I have this assignment. I have all these sick patients or whatever. I had a respite. I had a break, you know, this 4 minute or 5 minute break. And this offset attenuates those negative emotions, these stress emotions. I think it breaks that stress wall that's been building all day long or all morning long or whatever the time period is.
Absolutely. And it's a great illustration of how scientists break down what happens when a person feels grateful. It sort of shifts our attention away from ruminative, self-focused thoughts, right? It's shifting our scope of attention, that little spotlight that brings to awareness a fraction of the information that could be in our mind at any given time. It shifts it towards things that are good, right? And then the connection piece, that social bond piece, because gratitude is so often about acknowledging the role that others play in the goodness in our life. So when we connect those two kinds of information, there's a stronger link between our ideas and thinking about other people and goodness in our own lives.
We sometimes start our staff meetings that we have and tell us the three things you're grateful for today. Mm-hmm. And each person shares that. And it is a powerful, powerful exercise. It reframes the whole meeting.
Sometimes gratitude can be perceived as an overpromise. In other words, maybe being tone deaf to the sorts of structural issues that healthcare providers in general have had to deal with over the course of the pandemic, and that it's in some ways unfair to dump upon anyone an additional thing they need to do in the course of their overburdened days. When I get that kind of feedback, I absolutely concur to the extent that I do not perceive gratitude as a panacea that will fix all difficulties and problems in the world. The point is that gratitude is a way to shift your own mental state towards one that actually enables you to be more effective in advocating for what you know actually can improve your own happiness.
Yes, very much so. And I'm not a prisoner of my circumstance. We need to acknowledge all this pain, and we need to bring up all this pain that nursing and our patients and our families and our staffs have gone through in the last 20 months or 22 months of COVID. And yes, that is part of this healing that we need to go forward. But gratitude keeps us from staying there, focusing on that all the time, because unrelenting, constant rumination on all of the pain that's happened, that will lead to more pain. Mm-hmm. You're never going to get past it. You'll never be free of it.
Yes. Thank you, Patricia. I wonder if you have any thoughts about, like, what is it that makes gratitude so sticky, in the sense that if I try it and it feels good, I then want to tell other people about it. What do you think that's coming from?
Our culture is so focused, I think, on a lot of negative, what's wrong, what can't be done, what didn't happen, this failed, or whatever. This is a 360 flip, because this is saying my happiness, my wellness, my health does not come from without, it comes from within. And there are many things to be grateful for. And this gratitude is a more powerful position to live in and restores more happiness than promoting pain. To be released from that constant focus on what's wrong is just the greatest release you can have, I think. It's a different vision, it's a different practice, it's a different way of living that has incredible physiological, psychological, spiritual benefits going forward.
Patricia, thank you for joining us as a guest on The Science of Happiness.
Thank you for having me.
The exercises we've included in the Gratitude Practice for Nurses Toolkit have been shown to have lasting effects for all types of people: teenagers, educators, romantic partners, and most everyone in between. But how do these tools especially help people dealing with high-stress jobs, like nurses?
We are very focused on how can we prevent burnout, how can we reduce burnout, both at the individual level and implementing changes at the institutional level.
More on the science up next. Welcome back to The Science of Happiness. I'm Emiliana Simon-Thomas, the science director at the Greater Good Science Center here at UC Berkeley, and I'm filling in for Dacher Keltner. Today, we've been exploring how the practice of gratitude can support people with really demanding jobs. Burnout rates in healthcare have always been high, and COVID-19 has only intensified things.
How can we prevent burnout? How can we reduce burnout, both at the individual level and implementing changes at the institutional level? What does the evidence have to say? Because this is becoming an even greater problem, and hopefully more and more people are going to be paying attention to it.
Catherine Adair is a researcher at the Duke Center for Healthcare Safety and Quality. She and her colleagues compared the effects of different gratitude practices on the well-being of healthcare providers.
We are very interested to see which tools are making a statistically significant impact on people.
First, they all filled out a survey measuring aspects of their mental health.
So emotional exhaustion, happiness, depression symptoms, and thriving and recovery, these two aspects of resilience.
Then they zeroed in on three exercises for enhancing gratitude. One called Looking Forward.
We text them a link. They go in and they enter something that they're looking forward to at various times in the future.
Then the Three Good Things practice.
We sent them a text message in the evening every night for 2 weeks where they clicked on a link and then simply entered three good things that happened that day.
And finally, writing someone a gratitude letter.
They wrote their 5 to 7 minute long gratitude letter, and then we checked in with them a week later.
People chose one of these exercises to try, and then they filled out the same mental health survey afterwards.
We found significant improvements in depression symptoms, gains in optimism, and improvements in their thriving and recovery aspects of resilience.
People's moods improved, they felt better about the future and a little more okay during difficult moments, and they were better at bouncing back after feeling down. Of all the gratitude exercises, the Three Good Things practice had especially good results.
And we saw improvements in emotional exhaustion, happiness, depression symptoms, as well as recovery. So we're pretty excited that even a tool that takes only 2 to 5 minutes a night for a couple weeks seems to have an impact potentially 12 months later. In healthcare, we often see this badge of honor culture where people feel like in order to demonstrate their commitment, they have to work crazy long hours and sacrifice their personal life. And unfortunately, we know from the data that, you know, that tends to lead to burnout, and burnout predicts patient safety errors. And so we need to shift this culture to one that supports well-being, right? To making it safe for our colleagues to go home, to recharge, to take breaks, make sure there's staffing, make sure that there are the resources needed for folks to do the amazing work that they're capable of.
You can check out the Gratitude Practice for Nurses Toolkit at gratitudefornurses.org. It includes a number of research-based activities to support nurses, and even if you're not a nurse, it can help. On our next episode of The Science of Happiness, we explore how reflecting on our best possible self benefits well-being.
All my life, I only worked in restaurants. And what happened in my early 20s is I met my ex-husband, and he became very successful as a chef. And so basically, I really fell into the caretaker role without really thinking about it. And all my actual dreams sort of had to take a back seat. And so that's how I was living my life until I would say around 3 years ago, which is when I started comedy and I started doing open mics, and I like just never stopped.
I'm Emiliana Simon-Thomas, and thanks for joining us on The Science of Happiness. How do you envision your best possible self in the new year and beyond? Share with us by emailing happinesspod@berkeley.edu. Our senior producer is Shuka Kalantari. Our producer is Haley Gray. Our associate producer is Christy Song. Sound design by Jenny Cataldo at BMP Audio. Our executive producer is Jane Park. Our editor-in-chief is Jason Marsh. The Science of Happiness is a co-production of UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center and PRX.
From PRX.